From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. It's great to be on the air again today, broadcasting from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio. Today's program brought to you by Walker Tire and Auto. And there's a lot to get to this week, but I want to start with a story about a cake that would not be made. And no, not a wedding cake. You've heard, of course, about the cake baker, Jack Phillips, whose case is now pending before the United States Supreme Court and will be heard later this fall, and whether or not he must be forced to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex wedding ceremony. No, this story is about a 9-year-old boy and a birthday cake. 9-year-old Dylan Harbin of California had a special request for his birthday cake this year. Nothing inappropriate, nothing profane. He wanted a birthday cake featuring someone he really admires and respects and is a big fan of. Lots of boys get special birthday cakes with people they like and admire. Maybe it's Spider-Man or Superman or an NFL or NBA athlete. So his mother visited multiple bakeries trying to find a baker who would make this special birthday cake to no avail. She couldn't find any bakery willing and able to make this cake because what this 9-year-old boy wanted was a pro-Donald Trump birthday cake, and no one would do it. So his mom had to make one herself because they couldn't find any bakery that was willing to bake this cake that portrayed Donald Trump in a positive light. And so here we have bakers and bakeries declining to bake a specific cake for a specific event because it goes against their beliefs and they didn't want to be forced to do it. I don't think it should be really that big of a problem that, you know, a little boy wants the President of the United States on his birthday cake. Lots of people look up to and respect the President of the United States, regardless of who it is. And we should certainly encourage that among our youth. So thankfully, the ACLU has really stepped up and is suing the bakeries. No, of course they're not. That is not happening. Of course it's not happening. No one is being sued because these bakeries have the right to decline to make that cake. And that's why I find this so fascinating, is it just really demonstrates the blatant hypocrisy and fallacy of everyone on the left and the ACLU saying that Christians or anyone who is asked to participate in a same-sex wedding or bake a wedding cake or print a t-shirt or a sign should be forced to do so. And if you say no, you're a bigot and a hater and a terrible person. But here we have the bakeries in California who don't want to bake a cake with Donald Trump on it. And they're celebrated for that. And that is perfectly within their rights for them to say no to baking that cake. And no one can force them to. Just like no one can force you or should force anyone else to promote speech or participate in an event that they disagree with or goes against their conscience or violates their sincerely held religious beliefs. And so when Jack Phillips of the Masterpiece Cake Bakery from Colorado, when his case goes before the Supreme Court later this year, if he wins that case, that is not just a victory for Christians or those who support traditional marriage. That is a victory for everyone, all Americans, period. Because if the Supreme Court says that he must bake that cake and you must participate, you must obey, then they can tell you to do the same thing for a different scenario, a different event. They can tell you what you can and can't believe, what you can and cannot say, and what you must say, and what you must do, and that is blatantly unconstitutional and really as un-American as it gets. The government should not be taking a position on all these controversial issues and then dictating that everyone in the United States has to hold that same position and actually punish you if you disagree. In Jack Phillips' case, this Christian cake artist, I'm very hopeful for his case that the Supreme Court will get this one right. But the problem is that it's all the way at the Supreme Court. He has lost in front of every commission and every other court that he has appeared in front of. They have all ruled against him and said that he discriminated and that he should be fined, that he needed to be retrained and has to report to these commissions. And so he actually had to just stop doing wedding cakes altogether, which was a large percentage of his business. And so I'm just wondering why bakers are allowed to decline to make special birthday cakes supporting Mr. Trump because they don't like the president, but not wedding cakes supporting same-sex marriage. Why are we protecting someone's political beliefs and not someone's sincerely held religious beliefs? I think that's a fair question, and it's the question that Michael Ferris, the CEO of the Alliance Defending Freedom, who is representing Jack Phillips, it's the question they're asking. Mr. Ferris wrote in a blog post that here, cake shops declined the boy's order for conscience reasons. Yet no one on the left is calling for legal action against the cake shops, and neither should anyone on the right. The fact is that these cake shops have freedom of speech. They have the right to decline to use their artistic talents to celebrate events or promote messages that violate their beliefs, even if it offends a nice little kid. And I think that that's spot on. So hopefully we can all learn something from this story. This little boy, Dylan, he did get the cake because his mother baked it for him. So I'm glad that he got the cake that he wanted. But I'm also glad that these cake shop owners and bakers were allowed to operate according to their beliefs, and that no one could force them to make this cake and violate their free speech rights. And I believe that the same standard should be for every American, and certainly for Christian artists as well, who are continuing to be sued and finding themselves in front of courts and being dragged in front of these civil rights commissions, and having their lives really turned upside down simply for trying to run their business according to their beliefs. And I think this is really where we have to keep doing our homework and promoting the good of religious freedom for everyone, not just for Christians. It's not discrimination. It is a principle critical to any free society that this country was founded on and allows us to flourish, no matter what your religion is, or if you have no religion at all. And I think we need to reframe this debate, because the media, they just love to frame it as Christians versus everybody else, or the LGBT movement versus religion. But really, this is purely about government versus the citizen. And religion has been a force for good in our society that we need to continue to protect and advocate for, as well as the conscience rights and free speech rights of everyone. The government should not be able to force you, and cannot force you, to violate your beliefs. And this is something we're really going to have to keep talking about, because unfortunately, it's not going to get easier, at least dealing with the media and the public's perception. And in fact, just recently, a tech tycoon, a high-tech multi-millionaire came out and said that he wants to, quote, punish the wicked for their activism against the LGBT community. This comes from Tim Gill from Colorado, who started the Gill Foundation with a $300 million endowment to promote and pass LGBT legislation. And he has worked against religious freedom legislation for over the last 20 years. And now he quite literally has said, if you don't support what they're trying to do, you are quite literally a wicked person who should be punished. And that's their goal. That's what they are trying to do. It's now not because they got same-sex marriage legalized through the courts, and now that's not enough. They want to punish those who don't support that. So this issue really isn't going away, but this latest story of this 9-year-old boy, Dylan from California, who could not find any bakery willing to bake a pro-Trump cake, it truly demonstrates what is so important about protecting free speech, conscience rights, and the freedom of religion to live and work according to your beliefs, not just on Sunday and not just within the walls of a church, but every day when you walk out your front door. And that's what we're fighting for and promoting every day at Nebraska Family Alliance, so that religious freedom will not just exist, but also flourish. And you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for more information and to keep up to date on what we're doing here in Nebraska. And whatever your vehicle needs, Walker Tire in Omaha is here to help. Walker Tire and Auto Service has been serving Omaha customers for over 6 decades. Visit Walker Tire and Auto and get the Walker Tire Advantage, where you get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. Also, only at Walker Tire and Auto do you get free video vehicle health inspections free with each visit. Hear from their expert technicians and see for yourself how your vehicle is doing right from your email or phone. And if you're tired of being left without a car while it's getting repaired and having to get rides to and from work, try Walker While You Work. Register at www.walkerwhileyouwork.com. Get free vehicle pickup at your work and have your car repaired, returned, and ready when you need it. So for all your vehicle service and maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto, always going the extra mile for you. So I want to pivot to something now that caught my attention this past week, an interview that should still be making news, but with everything else going on and how much we already know, it just isn't. But it was an interview with a former Planned Parenthood executive speaking to Tucker Carlson on Fox News. And this former Planned Parenthood executive, Abby Johnson, went on the show, and she really just blew the doors off of Planned Parenthood. It's incredible when you hear from someone who spent years actually working at a Planned Parenthood facility, go into the specifics of how they operate, what they do, including selling aborted baby parts, which is supposed to be illegal, but she describes how they skirt around that, how they're able to get away with this type of activity, and what they're really about, which is abortion, not women's health care. You'll hear in this interview, which I'm going to play just a clip of, but she notes that not a single Planned Parenthood in the country provides mammograms. They don't do prenatal care. They don't do all of these things that so many people have been led to believe that they do. And this isn't just my opinion or anyone else's opinion. You'll hear this coming directly from a former Planned Parenthood director speaking with Fox News' Tucker Carlson on Tucker Carlson Tonight. Take a listen.
How long did you work at Planned Parenthood?
I was there for 8 years.
And what did you do while you were there?
I was the clinic manager, so I took care of just the day-to-day operations, hiring and firing personnel, making sure that our budgets were maintained, including our abortion quota that we had to maintain every month.
By that you mean you had to perform a certain number of abortions in that clinic every month?
That's right. So every abortion facility within Planned Parenthood has a monthly abortion quota that they must meet.
Why?
That's how they make their money. About 50% of their income is just cash from abortion services. And so in order to keep their clinics open, they have to sell so many abortions.
But what about all the mammograms and life-saving work they do?
Yeah, you know, funny about mammograms, there's not a Planned Parenthood in the country that provides mammogram services. They don't provide prenatal care. They don't do a lot of the things that they say that they do.
So basically, it's an abortion clinic.
Pretty much, yeah. They provide a few things, STD testing and birth control, but they provide birth control because, according to their own numbers, 54% of women who have abortions were using birth control at the time that they got pregnant. So they know that that's just a way to get these young girls, especially, I mean, I'm 37 years old. I couldn't remember to take a pill at the same time every day. So, you know, get these young girls in there, put them on a pill with or a method with a high human error rate, and eventually they're going to end up pregnant, and that's another way to sell them an abortion.
So they also sell fetal tissue, baby parts, and you saw that happen. What are the economics of that?
Yeah, at the affiliate where I worked, we sold the whole body for about $200 per fetus. That went to a company called Amphioxus. And, you know, the Houston facility, the largest, I worked for that affiliate. It's the largest abortion facility in the Western Hemisphere, second largest to China. And, we had capacity to perform about 75 abortions every day, 6 days a week. So if you look at even half of those women, you know, having tissue that is suitable to be donated, or sold, then, you know, you're looking at over $2 million a year just at that one clinic.
But I thought that Planned Parenthood or any facility like Planned Parenthood is not allowed to sell human parts.
Yeah, it's interesting because the way that they line item everything, it looks like it's a legitimate business transaction. But if you, because the law says that they can charge for things like shipping and handling and, things like that. And so if they line item it correctly, then it looks like that you're just paying for handling services or for shipping services. But really, there is no additional handling involved. There is no additional shipping involved. Amphioxus came and picked up the parts from our facility. But if you line item it correctly, then that's how they're skirting around the law.
Wow. There you have it. Former Planned Parenthood manager Abby Johnson speaking to Tucker Carlson on Fox News last week. And she really just completely dismantled Planned Parenthood and what they do and how they do it. And so this should also just be a friendly PSA that they are still being funded with taxpayer money to the tune of over $500 million a year. We just heard about how they have to meet an abortion quota every month and how they, or at least some Planned Parenthoods, have sold and gotten away with selling aborted baby parts. And right now, even here in Nebraska, even although they are the number one abortion provider, they are also the number one recipient of Title X money in Nebraska, which is federal grant money that is supposed to go to women's health and preventative health care services. But the problem is that Planned Parenthood basically just does abortion. They also do STD testing and birth control. But again, as you heard from the Planned Parenthood manager, is really a way for them to get more young girls into a Planned Parenthood and then down the road for an abortion. And so this past legislative session, the Nebraska legislature had the opportunity through the state budget bill to reroute that money, not just eliminating it, but giving it and sending it to other places who are already getting some of it, just much, much less, so that the money is going to organizations and to facilities who actually provide the most care. The people that can do the most good and serve the most people with more than just providing an abortion and an STD test for real health care. That's taxpayer money. And they couldn't, we came up one vote short. One. That's the difference. That's why elections matter. That's a perfect example, quite literally, one vote short of being able to reroute money to organizations that provide more care, better care, and don't do abortions. But the liberals in the legislature hijacked the entire state budget bill over that one provision dealing with the Title X money, and would not let anything else move forward unless that was taken out. And unfortunately, after hours and hours of debate and trying to hold on, there were not enough members in the body with the resolve to continue to fight for that. And so they let it go. And so right now, Nebraska taxpayers are still subsidizing Planned Parenthood. And when you hear the type of things that are going on there from a former employee who worked there for nearly a decade and was intimately involved with operation, it is really shocking how that is still happening. But going on nationally and internationally, of course, is North Korea and the continued escalation between North Korea and the United States, words and threats continuing to escalate, and the President of the United States responding very firmly. And given the rising threat from North Korea, very appropriately so. But as much as the situation with North Korea has been in the news, what hasn't been talked about a lot, to my knowledge, with the situation with North Korea and everything going on there, is the severe and targeted persecution of Christianity and people of faith. And perhaps maybe that just seems obvious because we know under this regime in North Korea, millions and millions of people are suffering, and there's human rights violations everywhere you look. So it has been widely understood that there is really no such thing as religious freedom in North Korea, and we know that, and so perhaps that's why it's not being talked about a lot. But a new report was just recently released that really sheds light on just how serious and dire the situation is for Christians living in North Korea. It was a report that was released by a British-based human rights advocacy organization called Christian Solidarity Worldwide. In this 15-page document titled Total Denial, Violations of Freedom of Religion or Belief in North Korea. And it offers some very troubling details on how Kim Jong-un's regime tortures, mutilates, and kills Christians for their faith. And again, this isn't surprising based on everything we know about North Korea. And faith-based persecution has been commonplace there for decades. But how many people know that the 2017 World Watch List compiled by Open Doors lists North Korea as the most oppressive place in the world for Christians? I think that has been forgotten with everything, with the severe persecution that we have seen in the Middle East and in other places, and this is in no way trying to compare which place is worse. Any persecution is completely unacceptable and terrible no matter where it is. But specifically looking at North Korea, we hear so much about Kim Jong-un, but not a lot about the people there, the people who are suffering and being persecuted, specifically Christians, for their beliefs. And that due to their country's totalitarian regime and the surveillance, Christians there are forced to hide their faith completely from everyone, from government authorities, from their neighbors, and sometimes even their own family. And many are attempting to find freedom in South Korea or China, but we also know that many of those who do escape, when they are discovered, even in another country, they can be still subjected to imprisonment and labor camps. And if they are caught and sent back, then even death. Open Doors estimates there are approximately 300,000 Christians in North Korea, but the only churches there, which are just a handful, are all entirely state-sponsored and used for propaganda purposes. And this severe level of persecution and targeting people of faith is the result of a state and a regime that is in charge of everything, of every aspect of your life. And any sort of totalitarian regime or dictatorship will always be in conflict with religion. They cannot coexist. And it just continues to further demonstrate just how fundamental religious freedom is to any nation, because without it, all other freedoms crumble. It's the first freedom here in the United States for a reason, and we're going to keep protecting it and keep advancing it. Thanks so much for listening to this week's broadcast brought to you by Walker Tire and Auto Service. For all your vehicle service and maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto. And as always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'll be back next week with more information on family, freedom, and life. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.